All right, welcome to another episode of Freeland's Wrestling Rewind. My name is Mike Freeland. I'm your host, your poor guy, your big brother. I am the one who's going to lead you down the path. I don't do this thing by myself, and the reason why is because nobody really wants to listen to my voice. That's why the great minds of the wrestling community joined me. And this week, one of the only, the Scottish man, Mr. Tony Cottam, is joining me. Tony, it's good to hear your voice. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, and I think you're selling yourself short there by just introducing yourself as Mike Freeland when we all know it's Iron Mike Freeland.
You know what? I've never had a nickname, but well, I mean, I was called Jiggly in high school, but I mean, that's another story altogether. But I do feel impressive when I'm referred to as Iron Mike. Now, there's two things that come to mind when I think of Iron Mike. I think of, first of all, Mike Tenay, and the other one being Iron Mike Tyson. But you coined this phrase, so I want you to tell me on the spectrum of Mike Tyson, Mike Tenay, which one do I fall closer to?
I think you're a sub Tenay.
I'll take a sub Tenay. I'll take that completely.
I was totally thinking of Mike Tyson because of Iron Mike Tyson's punch out. And when I first started coining it on the Twitter feed for the old magazine, I'm just like, Iron Mike Freeland.
Yes. Oh my God. Punch out. How awesome. Do you remember the power glove?
Oh, yes.
Oh my God. The power glove. Oh my God. I remember a friend of mine had the power glove and I was so jealous. I was like, Ed, can I get this? And it was ridiculously expensive. So I knew that wasn't going to happen. But there were so many cool things when Nintendo really just started to take over the market from Atari. And then before that, I think here in the United States, we had something called Intellivision, which was just archaic as all get out. I think Pong was one of the first. But yeah, Mike Tyson to punch out. Freaking great game. By the way, I do want to let everybody know before we get too far. So this show, this program brought to you by The Truepenny Show. When you get a chance, by all means, check out James Truepenny and his cast of Wrestling Minds as they bring you all the account of what's happening in the world of wrestling, specifically in Japan. You head and find them wherever fine podcasts are made available. I'm excited about this week's episode. And once again, before we get going, I really want to send my best wishes to one of our esteemed colleagues on this program, Kat, who just went through some sick. We love you. We can't wait to have you back on the program. We hope you have a speedy recovery. She is an international superstar. She's huge. She's huge in NXT. Kat is one of those people that, like, when she walks into a room, everyone gravitates. Like, the heels look at her to see if they're doing it right. So, once again, it is not long before this girl is going to be writing for WWE. We love you. We're going to be plugging your website, but you need to go over your merchandise. Tony can vouch for you. It's a hard job dealing with the crazy American boy over here.
Not himself, unless he's got a woman telling him what to do either.
That's right. I don't know what to do. I have no clue.
I am also just Kat's a star.
Exactly. Let's get that trending on social media. Kat is star. Love it. Tony, a lot of things have been going on in wrestling, and honestly, we're past the whole, and I forget what Darragh O'Connor called it. He calls it
something about two electric blood money boogaloo.
Yes, I love that. Absolutely love that. But now we're past because, I mean, there's not much more we can talk about. I mean, it's like beating a dead horse.
I just can't talk about it anymore. That's purposely why I missed last week's show. Yeah. So, yeah, there's something to do with bone saws and Jim Duggan. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it was pretty rough, by the way. By the way, we do want to let you know that the Freeland Wrestling Rewind is for all the amazing wrestling fans out there. And if you want to go ahead and follow me on social media, I can be reached at Mike Freeland. Once again, that is my Twitter handle. You can reach out to me and ask me questions. If there are topics or things you would like to hear us discuss on the show, I would be more than happy to entertain those and bring those topics up on the program. And we love you for listening to us. All right, here we go. We're going to go right into it. So I want to ask you this question here. So there's been a lot of rumors that have been floating around the internet about what's going to be happening with Impact Wrestling. I read an article not that long ago that Impact Wrestling was not too far from closing its doors last year because things were getting pretty tough. Did you hear anything about that? Did you hear from a financial standpoint? Mr. Nordholm had mentioned that it was pretty dire straits.
I think if you listen to every single rumor that said Impact were days frozen, then you would probably be deaf by now because they seem to die almost every second week, but they all seem to survive. It was a joke I made on the old podcast that we did together that come nuclear war, there were only three things that survived. One would be cockroaches, one would be Ric Flair, and one would be TV wrestling. They always survived. They always managed to come out the other end. Things have always been tight since the big money, the Dixie and the Panda era have left, but with Ed Nolte auto charge. I think it's a whole different drive towards them, and the Anthem seem to know what they're doing. This is something we often talked about, was we often thought that they were going in.
Well, I think that we've seen this before when it comes to TNA / Impact Wrestling. Like, it was never about the roster. It had nothing to do with the performers. It had everything to do with management. It had everything with the creative. It had everything to do with the politics. And unfortunately, a lot of that got in the way of putting together a quality pro that really highlighted the strengths of the talent they had. Because there was a point, I'm trying to remember what year it was. I mean, hell, you could pick a lot of years, that arguably they had the best roster. Like, if you put them head to head with the WWE, they were.
Look at it right now. They had that amazing triple main event with Styles, Daniels, and Mojo.
Oh my God. That was just classic. And right now, Samoa Joe and AJ Styles are freaking dominating SmackDown. Like, that's a big deal. They are extremely successful. So, yeah, for every WWE fan who looks down their nose at Impact Wrestling, just keep in mind the phenomenal AJ Styles, who you love, who we love, was an Impact Wrestling legend. And so was Samoa Joe, who is so good for what he does. Let me ask you this question. Samoa Joe, and we know that WWE always had this image thing, you know, where you needed to look a certain way, and Vince liked the big guys with the muscles. And then we started to get away from that because obviously the steroid era, and now we see guys like Killian Dane. So I think they're starting to kind of sin up on that a little bit. Do you think Joe in some ways has gotten some unfair as physique is concerned?
I think with Joe, it actually fits him to be that, to stand out from the pack that much. He's a guy that I often used to describe and still do describe on Twitter as just # all capitals, a bad, bad man. He's one of those guys that you look at him and you just think, nope, not messing with that guy. He's one of the guys that has real legitimacy, which is something that might be lacking in today's sort of kayfabe gone era of wrestling. Joe is one of the last few guys where you can look at and you go, no, I'll mess with that guy. And I think he doesn't have the physique of a John Cena or a Roman Reigns, but I think that's what sets him apart, and that might be his advantage in this WWE landscape at the moment.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. It's one situation where, you know, you can't have every single guy on your roster have the bleach blonde hair and the six pack and the shaved chest and all that, because at the end of the day, what separates them? They all look like they've been artificially enhanced. They all look like they're fake and they've been pre. It looks like they've just been stamp pressed out. You got to have diversity. And I think that Joe brings that to the table as well. Joe brings that element of, I don't really have to look like a badass to be a badass. And the whole chant of Joe's going to kill you proved it. You'd have to look like Braun Strowman for people to recognize how good you truly are. And the thing about Joe right now that I'm noticing more than ever, I feel like they're using the same formula with Joe and AJ that they did with Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. Like, Roman and Joe are the guys who pursue, lose. Even though fans were happy to see Roman Reigns lose, they were like, oh, great. I don't necessarily think people are happy that Joe loses, because I think Joe and AJ are kind of on that same excitement level where fans would be happy with one of them as champion. Would you agree with that, or would you say maybe AJ still has maybe a little bit of an advantage?
Well, AJ does have an advantage at the moment, and it's basically Vince's pettiness, because AJ is fast approaching on CM Punk's title reign. So the minute he passes that, you might find he drops the belt to someone sooner or later. And I think Joe might be the beneficiary of that, because Joe is one of these guys that he can lose and it doesn't matter. You still buy him as a badass. Whereas, say, someone like Braun Strowman, or going into the past like Sugar, if you get the often big match and you lose, and the fans go, oh, he's got the big match, but he's going to lose, because we know that's what he does. With Joe, there's always a reason why Joe's lost, or there's always been some kind of complication, or Joe just needs to come back the next week and dominate someone and destroy them, and you instantly buy this guy, he's going to kill them. Joe's going to kill you. It's not just a fancy chant. It's a legitimate feeling from some guys in the crowd. Joe is, like I said before, he's one of the last few WWE roster that are legitimate badass. Killian Dane, that you mentioned, he could definitely be another second coming up. I remember watching him in ICW when he wrestled as Big Emo, and he was just an absolute monster. Maybe it was something to do with the guys in ICW aren't necessarily as big as our WWE wrestlers, Drew Galloway / McIntyre accepted. But Demo just came across as a killer. And he did the same thing in NXT. He's not had the chance to show that in SmackDown, but I think you and I both agree that's a problem with creative more than the wrestler.
And you would think that for as much time and energy and money that Vince just continues to plug and just pour into the WWE, he would harvest really good creative people. And I just don't understand why it's been such a difficult thing for them to really start to get rolling again, because there's a lot of things that fan wrestling, and no, I don't think that you should follow everything the fans want you to do, because obviously they don't know exactly what should be done, but I think you need to listen to them. I think you need to have your finger to the pulse and you need to have your ear to the audience to find out who's really getting over and who's not. But Vince really has this mentality, and I talked to a couple other wrestlers I do another podcast with, and they were saying Vince is in a bubble. Vince only knows what Vince wants. You know what I mean? And I feel like he thinks that he knows what you want more than you want. And that's a problem. And that's a
big problem. You realize he sends Finn Balor down to the ring every week with that leather jacket thinking, ha ha, he's fancy, damn it.
Yeah.
Sunday, Monday, happy.
Just I love it coming out.
That's great.
What's the Chachi?
I actually watched Joni Loves Chachi too, so I don't know what that... God, there was so much good TV.
I'm just going to hang up now.
You know? I was about to say, I always feel like whenever I say something about my personal life, there's people I work with in the podcast world that are thinking, why am I listening to this?
What's this, a healer with lemon bars as well?
Oh, man. Golden Girls? Like, what? Does he got like an old person fetish? No, I don't. It's just who I am. I'm a byproduct of the 80s. I'm sorry. I like old people. I like
you sweaters. You must have an old person like fetish. You watch the main event of Saudi Arabia.
That's true. That is true. Oh my God, that match could be held in retirement community. It was bad. I mean,
doing the rounds of Shawn Michaels and collapsed in the ring with nosebleed and next Triple H, who can barely move his right arm because tore his pec. And the two of them are sat there, and Michaels says, "We're getting too old for this. You know what?"
Yes.
I'm just like, if they ever want to move, they have to do it with Triple H and Shawn Michaels.
I agree. I agree. You could definitely do it. I remember talking to Kat that Friday, because the pay-per-view dropped at 12 o'clock noon Eastern Standard Time, so I got to see it, and then later on that night, we ended up recording the podcast, and she was a big Attitude Era fan, because, I mean, she's considerably younger than I am, and she's very positive. That's the thing with Kat, like, she will tell you, you know, there's a lot of people who don't like things about wrestling, and that's fine, everyone's entitled to their opinion, but I like to focus on the really good things, the things that really make us love wrestling. And then she meets this cynical jerk off that I am, and it's like, oh my God, what the hell's going on here? I think she's going to try to convert me.
Wait till she gets a load of me.
I was going to say, just wait until she meets my second friend.
The thing is, wrestling fans in general, we're like that. We try and see the positive. We always try and see the good. And if you're sitting watching a wrestling match on TV and someone walks by, the first thing they say is, oh, you know, that's fake, right? And we always defend.
Right.
But if you're sitting watching Die Hard or Lord of the Rings, no one walks by and goes, oh, you know, that's fake, right?
That's true. That's a good point. No one will do that, but with wrestling, and I was talking about this with Mikey Whipwreck conversation.
Sorry, Klein. That was the name you just dropped there.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Let's see. I'm not gonna be that guy. All right, I was talking to my friend Mikey Shipwreck.
Be careful, because even just saying that name invokes several swear words.
It does. Every time I say his name, it's equivalent bad words. So, man, you hang around with people long enough, you start to pick up on things. You really do. Like, I'm sorry, James, for going into it, but I was a mild guy. I think you were the one who described me one time as just, you know, our friend across the pond. Holy cow.
That's a good job. I don't have any other in my house. You'd have invaded it by now.
I would have. You kidding? If there was a kiddie pool out in the front. But... yeah, so I was talking to him, and what the hell are we talking about? I just lost my train of thought.
Things being fake, and some films being fake.
Oh, edit that out, Matt. We're going to have to chop it. But no one goes to a theater and sits there and goes, that's not real. That's fake. Well, we all know that really didn't happen. We understand that, but we're there for the entertainment purposes. Now, wrestling, I think, the reason why wrestling gets such a bad reputation is because they should have said it's entertainment from day one. And that's what Mikey was telling me. They should have just said it was, and not act like it's a nation, like it's a true sporting competition. Along the way, we still do goofy things that we shouldn't do, like Happy Choppy PP. And that goes out to Marcus, who I feel like is so classy. And the fact that he had to deal with the choppy choppy pee-pee for me probably made him feel so utterly awkward. But Kai and Tai and Katie Vick and all of these things, like, that's the reason why wrestling gets such a bad stigma, because they do some really dumb things that make people cringe and like, oh God, like, it's hokey, but this makes it even more. Would you agree?
They ask us to suspend our disbelief. We all know if you throw a guy into ropes in a fight, he's not going to run out the ropes, turn around, and run straight back at you. So we suspend our disbelief to accept that this is wrestling physics. But you can only suspend your disbelief so far. You still have to make these things believable. You have to have an element of reality. You have to have that sort of little nugget there that thinks, oh, this guy's a badass. He would destroy me if I crossed him in the bar. And this is where the good wrestling crosses with the bad wrestling. There's a little Venn diagram. So you've got good wrestling on the left, bad wrestling on the right, and in the middle, there's that sweet spot that everybody loves.
I'm with you. I'm with you. And I wish we could have currently more sweet spot stuff than we do, because we have a lot of the peripheral going on right now, and it's like, ugh, that's so not good. But getting back to the old people comment, like, I forget who said it on social media, but before the Crown Jewel event happened, and they were talking about what the main event was going to be, and I automatically thought it would probably have been Brock and Braun Strowman, like, that just, because at the end of the day, that was always the show that closed it, but now I think back, and it was probably not just Vince's input on this show, because it was a paid show. I'm sure that the hosts of the event probably had some input on what they would like to be seen with, and obviously, if they were kids of the 90s or whatever, and they loved the era, sure, they're going to put that on last. But they were talking about how old everyone was, and it was like a combined age of over 200 years old. And the only thing I could continue to think of is, wait a minute, people would dog Hogan and Flair. I'm just talking about them from an age and performer standpoint, not outside life. They would dog for being old. They would dog them for being like, oh, these are fossils. But yet, in the same breath, you got the you have Triple H, you have Shawn Michaels, and you have Kane. Like, I get it, but it ain't 1997 anymore. And that match was, that was painful to watch. Well, would you agree?
There's 2 points you're bringing up there, which I want to address first of all. You're talking about like the age of guys, and it's a very good point. But people used to dog WCW for being the land of the old guy. So when Hulk Hogan signed for WCW in 1994, 1995, he was what, 42? Yep. 40. How old is AJ Styles just now?
He's in his early 40s. So
these old guys back in the day, suddenly they don't seem that old when you come to the current day. The other thing as well, here's something that'll blow your mind. What if the Saudi Arabian main event with Brock Lesnar winning the Universal title was the plan all along? It wasn't anything to do with Roman Reigns not being there. What if Brock was supposed to win that title all along?
Like, had some input on that as far as...
Well, he's going back to UFC, Vince was going to put the belt on him to get that publicity. Didn't have anything to do with Roman Reigns not being there. If Reigns was still a champion, he walks into that match as champion. He walks out with Lesnar as his champion.
Oh, I would agree with that completely. That's just smart. I mean, think about it from that perspective. You have a high-profile UFC heavyweight championship match with Daniel Cormier, who in a lot of people's minds is one of the greatest UFC heavyweight champions of all time. He's a great, great fighter. He's already gone on record saying, I'm going to retire at the age of 40. He's going to get booked between now and then. At 40, I'm done. And you then have Brock Lesnar come in, but then Brock comes down the aisle and he's got the WWE Universal Championship belt around his waist or on his shoulder. Kidding me? That is like the greatest commercial for your product. He kept going around that octagon, and Cormier also said, hey, bring your belt. I'd love to be the WWE Universal. So it's like, oh my God, it's a match made in heaven for cross-promoting and cross-branding these things to help one another out. They're both going to get the rub. So, no, I'm with you 100%. I would have said Brock Lesnar was going to win regardless of the outcome, because they knew coming down the pike that Brock was going to have this match, that he did sign a new short-term contract, which will go through WrestleMania. Right now, the Cormier fight, if it gets signed, is supposed to happen sometime in March, I believe.
And it's the point we made about the Evolution pay-per-view. You book a smart main event. Rousey versus Nikki Bella might not necessarily on paper be the best wrestling match, but it is the match that draws the eyes. And Lesnar as champion going into UFC pay-per-view wearing the WWE Universal belt, with Heyman doing that walk behind him with the head and my name is Paul Heyman. That's just, wow. That you can't buy that. And to an extent, and I'm going to do something completely off track here, I'm going to defend Vince Russo. David Arquette as WCW champion, publicity. It got the front page of USA Today. Would it have been that if it was DDP as WCW champion or Buff Bagwell? David Arquette brought eyes to that product. I'm not necessarily agreeing that it was a great idea from a wrestling point of view, but from a mainstream publicity point of view, it was superb. And Brock Lesnar as WWE champion going into UFC pay-per-view is the same concept. It draws eyes to the product.
Well, talking about drawing eyes to the product, kind of what we were talking about already early at the top of the program with Impact Wrestling, eyes to a product is really what it boils down to, because at the end of the day, you can be competing against somebody, or you can agree to work to, and try to get more eyes on the product that you're putting out there, and then have a good working relationship. Not that you have to work all the time together, but help each other to put some matches together that fans really would like to see. And I think that's so interesting that Scott D'Amore did talk about their relationship with Ring of Honor. Now, I'm going to try to find a quote here that I thought was really, really good as far as their relationship is concerned. This is what Scott D'Amore said. I would say we are not partners, but we are not working together, but we're also not enemies, which is a big step. There was so much bad blood, which was justified over the course of the TNA years. TNA had done some things to Ring of Honor, so hearing their position, really, we understand where that comes from, because there was a lot of bad blood from what TNA had done, and they did a lot of ripping off of copying off of other people. But it seems right now, you know, Scott D'Amore is that voice who says, I've already been in the ring before. You know what it's like? Kind of like the Triple H. I mean, he's a lesser version of Triple H, but it's still one of those guys who understands what it's like to perform, and he also understands the business side. So when he says we're not partners, we are not necessarily working together, but we're also not enemies, basically says we need to do things that are beneficial to both of us. Now, he goes on to say, there is no because we are competitors that we mean ill will each other. There's no reason why we would want to have bad communication. Good communication is important, even as competitors. So there's a lot that's said in that short snippet right there that, you know, you don't got to be kissing buddies. You don't got to be, you know, hugging each other all the time and sending Christmas cards, but you at least need to have some level of civility, because at the end of the day, if certain companies go out of business and there is no real competition anymore, we've already seen what that does. Shot WWE's ratings in it, their viewership down. So you need a healthy wrestling competitor. If you don't, well, then who's, because what's the excite level? This guy can't go to here, or this guy can't go to here, or this guy's contracts will coming up. Ooh, what's going to happen? Is he going to, he's going to, you know, so I think it's very interesting. Let me ask you this question. Do you like currently the Ring of Honor product? Do you feel like it is taking that next step up? Because we know that they're going to be having that big event that's going to be coming up at Madison Square Garden. What is your thought with that? And where can we expect to see Ring of Honor in the next 12 to 18 months?
Ring of Honor, it's not a product that I watch a lot of, but I did see them in their UK tour. I think it was earlier on this year. I've seen so many wrestling shows in the past year. They've all been feeded into one mass glob. But I did see Ring of Honor when the main event was Cody and Hangman Page against the Briscoe Brothers. And the product on a whole was absolutely fantastic. I really enjoyed the night. In ring, they are probably, I would say, out of the major-ish promotions, and I'm not counting PWG in this because, as you know, PWG is my first love, but I would say New Japan is obviously a clear number one for in-ring product. Ring of Honor, I would say it's slot in at number two.
I would have to put them right there next to Japan. I would agree with them, because the in-ring abilities of their performers is off the chart. And I'm so glad you brought up PWG, because they really, really are really good. So if you have not had a chance to check out Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, they do an amazing job. They put on some awesome shows. And I believe there is, Kat was telling me the other week, is it called High Spot? Or High Spots, that you can go ahead and get yourself a subscription, and you can see a lot of different promotions. Just kind of, if you would subscribe to the WWE Network or New Japan, well, you can subscribe to High Spots and you can get these other promotions that you typically, depending on where you live, you might not get a chance to see their product a whole lot outside of a YouTube or maybe their website. So that might be something you might want to check out, because right now these companies are coming up and they are closing the gap on one another.
I'm not sure, but High Spots at one point did carry some ICW programming, so Insane Championship Wrestling, which is, I would call my home. It runs out of Glasgow, Scotland. They used to be on High Spots. I'm not sure they are now because they've got their own streaming product, but if you get a chance to look up some ICW, some of the guys from there in the past 2 or 3 years, you'll know because they're in the WWE promotion and the WWE NXT. Guys talking about like Drew McIntyre / Drew Galloway, as he was called, Wolfgang, Nikki Cross, Aleister Black when he called the end of wrestling in ICW. High Spots is a great resource for things like that. You know, watch a promotion that you don't know anything about, watch a company you don't know anything about, because you don't know, you might be seeing the next big thing before they're the next big thing. You might be seeing someone that's been there, done that, didn't like it, come back down and is spreading their wisdom. Guys like Pac, Neville, who's gone back to Dragon Gate after having a bad WWE experience. So all these guys pop up on little promotions that like high spots will pick up on. There's tons of wrestling out there. If you don't like the WWE product that we're talking about just now, that's fine. It's not for everyone, but there are tons of wrestling out there, so much that people can watch something and pick up something that they do like.
Well, and I think you made a good point right there, because I think a lot of people leave, and I know a lot of people in North America, it's WWE. Like, their whole life is WWE, and then WCW, maybe NWA, you know, and obviously back in the days when there was the territories, but being predominantly dominated by WWE, and now it's such a global presence. Like, you don't just have to buy into one concept. I mean, you can watch a lot of different promotions, and different promotions now, because of the digital age we live in, is able to get a product to you, even if you don't have cable. Like, it doesn't matter anymore. And that's the beauty of it. You can get it on your phone. You can get it, you know, streaming on your television as well. So yes, I am in complete agreement with Tony. I think you should pick a promotion you know nothing about. You don't know anything about the competitors, and you need to watch it and invest yourself into it. Like a show, if you're going on Netflix and you're like, well, I don't even know anything about this, just watch it. Watch and enjoy it for what it is, because you're right. You may develop a love for something you never thought you had before.
And here's the thing, the indie scene today, would you say there's a direct line to be drawn back towards the 70s and 80s with the territories?
Oh yeah, absolutely. The territories are definitely back. And I know you and I have talked about this on and off air. Dear Connor and I have talked about this on and off air, but interesting, because with Japan, with Mexico, especially with Europe, man, I'm telling you right now, Europe is the place. I would say Japan, Europe, right there with the best. And then obviously I would throw Mexico in there as well. And then obviously I would throw in North America. But once again, we're more showbiz type of aspect of it. I mean, if you really see the hard hitting, then you're going to go Europe, you're going to go Japan. But no, I agree. Territories are definitely very much alive and very much thriving. And
that's a good sign for Billy Corgan and NWA, because the NWA could be a uniting factor in all these indie super shows. You know, like, you look at All In. Maybe not wasn't the main event, but Cody versus Nick Aldis was a big selling point on that. And the video packages that they put together for the £10 of gold season from Kelsey Rhodes, that brought some legitimacy and some credibility back to the NWA title that it has not had in such a long, long time.
It's true. You look at different promotions, the evolution of them, because when you look at the NWA, something that was, in a lot of people's eyes, the most respected championship in North America. I mean, it was even put ahead of WWE at the time. He respected the NWA champion more than Hulk Hogan back in the heyday of Hulkamania, because it wasn't a world championship. It was a WWF championship, and he didn't really entertain and perform with guys that were outside of WWF, where guys like Ric Flair, guys like Dusty Rhodes, guys like Harley Race, so on and so on, went around to every single territory. They went international, and they went ahead and performed with the best of the best of the best, and that's what made that title so important. And now to see that coming back to him, and it's because of people like Nick Aldis, people like Cody Rhodes, who are saying, no, you need to seriously look, because this is very important in the grand scheme of wrestling. And if you appreciate wrestling, then you got to respect its legacy.
That's it. You only appreciate what you've got today when you look at the history of what went before them. If it wasn't for guys like Dusty Rhodes and Ric Flair, you wouldn't have the guys that are coming forth today. There was, like you said, the WWF or a WWFE title, whatever it was back in those days. The you all had the two. You had Jones of Hogan, you had the Great Flair, and that's coming back again today. You still get the same choice. The WWF is mainly a showbiz storyline driven promotion, but there is some work rate in there if you dig into it, mostly in NXT, if we be honest. But the indies is where the big work rate is, and these are the guys that are going to go to the WWF or WWE in years to come and make their money. And who can fault them for it? You know, it's a career. One injury and your career's done. So if you do your art, I think we were having this conversation weeks ago, you can make the artistic statements you want on the indies. You go to WWE or New Japan for 2-3 years, get one big contract, make your money, and then go back and continue your artistic progress. It's the best of both worlds for everyone. And as much as people like to bash Vince in the WWE, and one of them on many occasions, but they are putting money in people's pockets and they are driving wrestling. If the WWE are hot, the wrestling scene is hot. And I think that's something that can be taken further and further down the line the more you go, because you get these little indie shows and 100-seater armories, and the first thing they'll put on the poster is former WWE star or former WCW guy. It's the name that draws the people. And all it needs is one kid to go to these shows and fall in love with wrestling, and you've got a fan for life.
No, I'm with you. You're cultivating a brand new generation of people wrestling, and you never know what it's going to take to get someone hooked. It could be that small armory where someone's like, oh, I didn't really think wrestling was all that much, but they go with some buddies or they go with some cousins or friends and they check it out and they're like, whoa, like this is a lot cooler than I thought. So I'm right here, Tony. I'm on the network itself. I am on High Spots Wrestling Network. And once just kind of tapping into or kind of what Tony was saying about the territories, there are so many promotions you can watch, but this is the worldwide exposure that you get with this. They have British Empire Wrestling, Canadian Wrestling Coalition, Celtic Championship Wrestling. So right there, you're seeing a different part of the world that you have never, ever seen before. And then they have Lucha on here as well. They have, who else? Dubai Pro Wrestling. They have everything on here. So if you are Elite Canadian Championship Wrestling, whoa, didn't realize that even existed. Well, guess what? It does. And you can get all of that if you subscribe to High Spot Wrestling Network. And it's only $9.99 a month. And by the way, that's a free plug because they don't sponsor us at all. But we just want to let you know, as consumers of wrestling, there's a lot out there and you're wondering where to find it. Here it is. And, you know, it's interesting, Tony, that so many people say, oh, well, that's $9.99 or that's $10 or $12. Okay, well, let's play this game. Every morning you get in your car to go to work. Most people will stop off to get a cup of coffee. Most people stop off to get a Danish, or they'll stop off to get a breakfast sandwich, or whatever it may be, pack of cigarettes, whatever. Do you realize in just one stop on a Monday morning on your way to the office or wherever you work, you are probably spending $6, $7, $8, $9 or whatever. You could only spend $10 and you could get unlimited access to all of this stuff. So think about it. You spend that kind of stuff, you just spend it on random things during the course of one day, you could get this per month. So take out that coffee, take out that pack of cigarettes, take out whatever it is, just subtract it for a day, and you can have yourself an unbelievable category of professional wrestling. So to put it on, our impact is concerned, you know, we do know that it's been mentioned on social media galore how their contract with their current home is going to be ending. And we know that it's not really gone so well. They originally on Thursdays at 9 o'clock. That really wasn't working. They moved him back to 10 o'clock on Thursdays. Well, that's not really working either. A lot of people are saying, well, because the NFL American football season's going on, that's hurting them on Thursday nights. Not going to disagree. It probably is. Like Monday night football here in the United States probably hurts Raw's ratings as well. Where do you think that Impact Wrestling's going to go? Because right now, Pop TV, not really a good fit for wrestling. Where can they go? Or do you think they just need to say, we're streaming, and that's the end of it?
Well, here's a sentence you would never have thought you would have heard 2 or 3 years ago. I have faith in the management behind Impact Wrestling.
That is very true.
I think Ed Nordholm and Don Callis and Scott Dimmore have their heads screwed on. I think they've done all the right moves since they took over. I would trust them to come up with some kind of scheme. The things they've been doing with co-promotions, with other local promotions and joint shows and things like that, Ring of Honor, as you were saying, that's fantastic. That's going to boost their business, and hopefully that brings them to a point where they can get a good TV deal. But last year, I was lucky enough to speak to Tommy Dreamer, and he said to me, TV, you don't need it. You don't need television anymore. Wrestling companies don't need it. If you've got an online platform, you can survive off that alone. And I think there's so many promotions out there that do that. We're just talking about High Spots there. That brings it back to that. You can get on there. You can, you know, expose your brand. You can produce these amazing TV shows that not many people would have seen before, but now the whole world can see them. The internet is there. It's not going away. Netflix and the Amazon Prime and all these things, and there's no such thing as on-demand television, must-see television anymore. No one says, oh, I've got to sit down at 6 o'clock on a Sunday night and watch this show. you sit down when you want, you watch it when you want, because it's there. And wrestling is an excellent example for things like this. If you just want to sit down and drop into something, turn your brain off, just put stuff on TV and watch while you have your dinner, or you sit down in front of the TV with your Starbucks coffee that you can't afford anymore because you're buying high spots every month, but you can sit there and you can just watch anything in the world. And I think that if I was Don Callis, and I don't think Don Callis, I don't have that much ego, and I probably got more hair, but don't tell us that. I aiming for the streaming and then build up a platform on the streaming, and then you can present it to a better television network than Pop and say, we have X amount of streaming subscriptions, do you like these guys to watch your channel, and then you can present it to advertisers. And okay, wrestling fans typically haven't been a great demographic for advertising, but if you get enough people of any demographic, that's a desirable thing for any television channel to want.
Oh, I'm with you on that. I think it's different. The whole world is changing the way you consume entertainment. And I think that wrestling is just one of those platforms that is following what pop culture is doing. And I think it makes a lot of sense too, because when you think about it, you can make so much more money on people buying subscriptions than you can filling up an arena. So when WWE goes ahead and they launch their network and they have that many people spending $10 a month, I originally thought, well, wait a minute. If each pay-per-view is roughly 30, 40, WrestleMania is 50 or 60, how are you making more money charging $9 a month and getting everything for 10 bucks? Well, here's how it works out. Most fans aren't buying every single pay-per-view. If you think the average fan is spending 30 to 50 bucks a month, you're wrong. They're usually going ahead and chipping in, going over to somebody's house, or someone buys pizza and someone brings the beer and someone brings chips and all that kind of stuff. But if they figure, if we can hit that perfect price break that people can afford, and they looked at Netflix, we can get more buying at $10 a month than we can get a few that buy it at $30 to $40 a month. So they're very, very smart when it comes to the mathematical business side of it. And I think that if Impact Wrestling wants to continue to grow and thrive in this new age, they're going to have to look at doing something online like this. And for their pay-per-views, or, you know, what they call them on the internet, IPP, maybe they need to go back to doing something like that as well. Because isn't that what they did with All In? I know they were on WGN America, but I think they were also, you didn't get that channel, you could also stream it online as well.
Yeah, and here's the thing as well, and they might be prepared for a scorching hot take here. If you're a wrestling fan, and you're one of these guys that sits online and is like, oh dear, I don't like Impact Wrestling, I hope they die. No, you're not a wrestling fan. As much as we all like to laugh at Impact and some of the things they did in the past, like Samoa Joe got kidnapped by ninjas, and they forgot about it. And he just appeared out of nowhere with a face tattoo. You know, it was awful. It was atrocious. But it doesn't mean that a company deserves to go out of business. It doesn't mean that there's one less place for guys that we like to ply their trade and make a business. You know, we're all wrestling fans. We want wrestlers to have more options to make a living and support their families and continue doing the things that they do. Impact is one of those places. If you sit there and you think, oh, I hate Impact, I want it to die, then please just stop this podcast after you downloaded it, because James needs to download. But stop this. stop listening and just go and play with your dolls or something. I it's too late for me to think of some kind of analogy to insult people.
No, you're right, though. I mean, like, you can't be a true hardcore wrestling fan and then wish for other companies to go out of business. Like, it just doesn't make any sense.
I've never understood this thing of, I'm a wrestling fan. Well, who do you like? Oh, I like WWF. Everything else sucks. Oh, I am a WCW guy. No, you're like a wrestling fan. You can like more than one thing. You can say, oh, the WWE is my favorite, but I also watch PWG or WCW or Ring of Honor. You don't have to be, oh, WWE is my favorite, I don't watch anything else because it sucks. That doesn't benefit anyone. Open your minds, people. We're trying to do that. And if you only take one thing from our show here, go and listen to one of James's shows, the Troopany Show. Listen to one of the shows that they talk about, where they present to you Sendai Girls or the Big Japan or All Japan. Some of these shows that you would never have heard of. Listen to them talk about it. Listen to the passion in the voices when talking about these shows. Go and watch one. You might discover something that totally changes your outlook on wrestling and art and sport. And it's just, there's a whole world out there. Don't limit yourself to it.
I think in a lot of ways, people when it came to WWF and WCW, they kind of aligned themselves almost as if it was kind of like a war. And obviously they positioned it that way. I mean, it went down, but they were almost like, I don't want to say the Bloods and the Crips. I mean, I think that's a little on the extreme side, but you know what I mean? Like if it's some type of gang rivalry, like, oh, you're wearing WCW colors, you're not wrestling because we're the WWF. Like, and I know that sounds totally Hilljack Appalachian, whatever it is. Please forgive me.
I'm going to totally butcher your American accent, so forgive me for this. So WWF, I always assumed was New York. It was posh. It was fancy. It was like, oh, we are from New York. And then WCW was the wrestling. It was from down south.
Yes, wrestling.
R-A-S-S-L-I-N.
And yep.
The wrestling business, Vince. That's great, man.
No, but it's true, though. I feel like a lot of people were taking sides. Like, it was high school. Oh, I don't like that group of people. They're the popular ones, and then they got the nerdier group or whatever. I don't like them because they're stuck up and they got their nose in the air. Like, no. There were plenty of things CW did that were really good. There were plenty WWF did at the time that were really good. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have to marry yourself to one company. You can marry her to wrestling, like Tony said, as a conglomerate, as a whole. And I love wrestling. But when we were talking about, you know, just different things that you can take in when it comes to wrestling, what I really like that James does, and once again, we're kind of going down the James road here, but what I like about what they do with the Trepenny Show is if you don't know about a certain topic, that's okay. Perfect example. They brought me in to do a show with them, and I didn't know a whole lot about Japanese wrestling. They have the beginner's guide. They have the beginner's guide to this, the beginner's guide to that. They have introductory episodes that take you through that process. So you don't have to be, you know, the most versed wrestling fan of said genre. They'll gradually take you into it and tell you what you should watch, what you should check out, and what you should be keeping your eye on. And then as you acclimated to it, then you advance to the next one. God, it sounds like it's a college course. I swear to God, he's wearing the damn jacket with the, I mean, he's with the bubble pipe, but they're really good at what they do.
You like, and me, we are with old school wrestling fans. We've been watching it for a few years. I've been writing about it for 20 years. I can listen to a beginner's guide that James and Co. have done, and I can learn something new. So if I can learn something, anyone can learn something. And that's not me. That's there not me blowing trumpet, by the way. I just realized that came across as being very.
You sounded very confident with that to me. I liked it, though. Man, and that glass shot right there, that's bottomless. Man, look at that thing. You've been nursing that thing for at least a good hour now. You got the bottle with you. So what you guys aren't understanding right now is we have our Skype video going as well. And this makes the experience so much.
It's great. We don't talk over each other as much.
We don't. I mean, it's cool to be able to see somebody. So maybe we can talk to the powers that be at the Trepenny Network, and we can somehow try to find out if we can do something maybe with a Twitch or something where you guys can actually see, talk about this as well. I don't know.
On the Patron, that's right.
What's the Patron? Well, it's either a drink or a subscription.
Oh, okay.
So that's going to take us into our next segment. Oh my gosh.
We talked about one sentence.
One thing. See, that's the thing. Don't get us talking. We'll never stop. And here's the fun thing. Poor Tony. There's a 5-hour time difference between where he is and where I am. So right now, 9:13 here in the United States. Where Tony is, it's probably 6 o'clock. I mean, Tony's been up all day, and now
it is
all night.
It is 2:14 a.m. right now.
So that means Mike Freeland needs to hurry up and get through.
Oh, yeah, fine. I don't sleep.
So let me bring this up to you because I want to get your take on this. You know, we're talking about different promotions in indie scene and obviously WWE and Impact Wrestling and Ring of Honor, New Japan as well. Even though they are about 3 or 4 steps ahead of promotions, they're starting to recognize what's going on in the indie scene and the guys that they're upcoming stars. And they are starting to gobble up talent. Now, the one guy the WWE was and signed to a contract was Mr. Matt Riddle. And he was known at the time, excluding guys like Omega, excluding guys like the Young Bucks, excluding guys like Cody Rhodes, everyone in the Bullet Club, for that matter, Matt Riddle was at the top of the list of somebody who was a hot commodity free agent. And WWE was able to go ahead and sign him. And we saw that Matt went ahead and he finished his final commitments. And he had sent out that very cryptic tweet about, hey, you know, ready for something more long term. I'm ready to step away from the indies, and cursor to him showing up at the NXT event at Full Sail. But now that he has been in the ring, and now that we've heard about him training at the NXT facilities, WWE obviously, through Braxton, let me try that again, Byron, went ahead and did an interview with Matt Riddle. And I'm just going to read you a quote here. And I think this was one of the best quotes of you. Nothing against Byron Saxton, but this one is what I really like the best. It says, you've had a few months now to settle into the NXT lifestyle. What has it been like for you to train at the WWE Performance? Now, this is verbatim from Matt Riddle. Dude, before I got to NXT, I was lucky to get a couple of days a week in the gym, let alone even in a ring. I was flying to Florida, to Germany, to England, to Boston, to California, then back to Pennsylvania, where I'd sleep for a few days, and then somehow end up in Iowa and Indiana next. Now I get to train full time and learn from the best coaches in the world. I went from doing push-ups on a wrestling mat house when I had spare time to now training with the best of the best. It's a good feeling. Now, Tony, I don't think there's any doubt right now that what the Performance Center is probably the preeminent place to go to train. Simple fact that they have unbelievable staff there. They have access to the best workout facility. Not only that, but they get to go ahead and perform in NXT, which is something that where they get to cut their teeth at. They experience what being exposed on television is. So with something like that, just for that element, why wouldn't with them, even if it's only, like you said before, a short-term contract, go ahead, get your name out there, make that money grab. And then if you really want to continue to be artistic, then get out and go back to doing what you were doing. But Matt Riddle seems to really appreciate this whole WWE experience for what it is. And he not only appreciated what the coaches did, that comment, but he appreciated all the time he had normally put into something and now how he's able to dedicate more of his life to his craft.
I absolutely love Matt Riddle. He's a guy, he's obviously going to go up to the main roster at some point. If Vince gets him, he's going to be the next John Cena level superstar. He's got all the tools, he's got the look, he's got the ability, he's got the promo skills. It's whether Vince gets it or not. Vince will just look at him and go, ha ha ha, he's tall, ha ha ha. And Matt Riddle will be going, I had to transcribe an interview with Matt Riddle for the old magazine about 6 months ago. And honestly, if I'd have had to write out every word, no one had 5 cents for it, I'd have been a millionaire by now.
Yeah,
he is an incredible talent, but yeah, he's a fork in his career, so to say. He had a choice to go what he was going to do. He could stay on the indies, he could work the punishing schedule. If you've ever listened to some of the schedule that these indie guys work, it's insane. Listen to Colt Cabana's Art of Wrestling podcast, listen to how many miles he puts in, listen to Drew McIntyre's interviews when he was working for TNA and working for ICW in Europe and then doing indie shots in Florida. It's an insane schedule. If you get a chance to have a set base like NXT in Orlando, and you can say, I'm going to be here 5 days of the week and I'm going to get paid slightly less, but I'm going to have a better quality of life and a better relaxation schedule. I think that's a big sweet to some people. And you and me have said this in the past, NXT is the place to be right now. When you get called up, shall we say, demoted to roster, that'll just be back on the road. Some of these guys that are coming to NXT haven't done the indie route before, where they haven't had to put the miles in. They've just always been rooted and they've always been protected and really coddled. And when they hit the roster, all that's gone. And all of a sudden, everything's different. Because you're the NXT solo, you're Kevin Nagin's done all this. They know how they've been fair. And it's a case of, it's finished with Chase. And there's no other guy sitting there, which is where the collective come out and smash on the. But even at NXT 2 years ago, you've got Shinsuke Nakamura coming in. He'll have it at the main roster and he'll be lost in the middle. And then you've got Elias, who was a guy who couldn't even get through the ropes without falling over, and he's going to be one of the biggest. How's that work? But Matt Riddle is a guy, I think, he can cut through this. The staff, he can become a big deal. He is a big deal. I've been arguing with my friends that this guy is legit. He's genuine. He gets it. He likes the product. He likes wrestling. He knows it. He lives it. He breathes it. He can do this. He can survive the Vince McMahon booking.
It just blows my mind how we're still talking about Vince philosophy of wrestling when Vince McMahon, and I know he used to have his hand on the pulse of most, if not all, decisions that are made within WWE when it comes to creative. But has everyone been so brave that they on the main roster, or not necessarily brainwashed when it comes to the way creative is run, maybe that they're just conditioned, I should say, you know, Pavlov's dogs to believe that, well, this is the only way we do it. This is Vince's way. You know, Vince Disney of this. If we don't do it Vince's way, then what are we doing? Like, he doesn't really allow them, in my opinion, now I could be wrong on this, to really express themselves as creative writers, to maybe go outside the box a little bit and maybe take a few gambles and do something that's not so Vince-esque. And I think when we see something, we're like, yeah, that's a Vince McMahonism. Yeah, he's doing this. It's really befuddling because I feel like for as many times you want to chant, you know, you don't like Roman Reigns or you don't like this guy, or you should probably be making your signs like, who booked this crap, or why did Vince do this? Or your signs should be directed towards Vince McMahon. Your signs and your disdain for a certain angle or an aspect of the product should go right to Vince. I mean, hit them where it counts. Don't get mad at the talent. They have nothing to do with any of this. Like, for everybody who did not like Roman Reigns and everyone who booed and treated him like crap, I get it. It was just not your cup of tea. You didn't want him to be the champion. That's fine. But keep in mind, Roman was being what to do and how to do it. And I think that a lot of wrestlers nowadays, and I was talking to another wrestler, and he was saying,
I'm not going to drop the name.
He was saying that it's so scripted now that unfortunately wrestlers aren't allowed to be their own personality. And that's a shame, because how did Steve Austin get over? That whole ringmaster thing with DiBiase, that was garbage. But then when they finally allowed him to be Steve Austin, whoa, really got something here. When we stopped making Rocky Maivia and stopped making him try to be the pineapple haircut guy, and we let him be Dwayne Johnson, it worked. So I hope they take some of these experiences from the past and they implement them on some of the guys now, because now the crop that they've got, let them sink or swim on their own.
How many times have we heard Steve Austin tell the story about he's walking across the parking lot and he bumps into Vince McMahon? He's like, I'm not 6'4", I'm not 6'6", I'm not 300 pounds. All I've got is a personality. Stop editing me. Let me be myself. I'll make money. And it paid out. And you look at the current crop that we've got in NXT, and it's as good as anyone. Velveteen Dream, Johnny Gargano, Alistair Black, Michael Ciampa. That's a hell of a top-level card. Undisputed Era, Adam Cole. These guys are money. They know wrestling. They know psychology. They know. And I think this is something, I don't know if it was you I was talking to, but we were talking about Evolution. And the moment with Trish Stratus and Mickie James. It was because they had defined characters. We knew who they were. We knew what motivated them. And this is what the guys in NXT have. They know who their characters are. It's not a gimmick. It's a character. They're playing that character. They're wrestling, but they're within the confines of the character. Velveteen Dream does things and presents himself and movements and words in a way that fits that character. Tommaso Ciampa does the same thing. You give these guys the platform to use their imagination and their creativity, but within a confined script. Not necessarily a script, but you say, we want next takeover to be Tommaso Ciampa versus Aleister Black. Here's where we're going, here's where we're starting, you guys figure it out, this is how we get here. Give the guys the framework to work within, let them be the character. They get there and it works. And I'm more excited about the next takeover than I am about Survivor Series.
Well, don't you also think, Tony, that you're more likely to keep people interested in wanting to stick around if they are as invested into the character as the company is? Meaning they have that ownership of the character as well. Meaning that it's not just, you know, I play a character and here's my script this week of what I am going to do. What happens if they came to you and said, well, this is like you said, this is our goal. These are some bullet points we'd like you to hit on. But everything else, you fill in the gap. You get the character over. And what have we talked so many times when it came to wrestling in the 60s, the 70s, and the 80s? The promoters would come and say, hey, your success is upon you getting yourself over. There was no scripted promos. They would say, hey, you're going to go ahead and you're going to wrestle this guy. What do you have to say about that? And they would let these guys creatively do their thing. And as opposed to, oh, wait a minute, I have to say this. And it might not necessarily fit the personality of the person reading it, because the person writing it has no concept of what it's like to be in a ring or to be pissed off or to be in a feud or anything of that nature. So give more creativeness to the performer. They will in turn be more invested in the product, may want to stay and not get pissed off quickly and want to say, whoa, when is my contract dead? Can I get an early release? Can I get out of here? You're getting them to become more loyal to the product, which obviously is going to be better for you for business, and it'll be better for them long-term as well.
Here's the thing. Not everyone on roster is going to be a Steve Austin or a Rock. You're going to have some guys that are as well-intentioned as they are and as good as they want to be. They're going to be your mid-carders that are there to make other people look good. And I don't mean this in any way to be offensive, because I have never set foot inside a ring. You know, I've never taken a bump, I've never wrestled. But someone like, say, I don't know, Hardcore Holly or the Road Dog, they were never the top guy. But they were there and they had characters, but they made people good when they stepped in the ring with them. You know, and people today, I think they just step into the WWE and you think, yeah, I should be the guy. And the creative team look at them and think, yeah, if we get them to do this, then they're going to be the guy. But it doesn't work like that. You can't predict what's going to get over. No one would have said it. Again, coming back to my example, Elias, this guy had no, you know, business being a top guy on Raw. He appeared on Raw one night, and I think I was doing it live on Twitter, and I'm like, what the hell is he doing here? Why has he been called up to Raw? But now he is the highlight of Raw. It's inarguable. I absolutely adore Elias, and probably, you know, contravening several regulations and restraining by saying that. But you cannot predict what's going to get over with fans. It could be a line, it could be a move, it could be a look, it could be a gimmick, it could be a match, but you cannot just go, yeah, this is what's going to get over, this is what's worked in the past. And you can learn lessons from the past, for sure. That's a good thing. You know, if you don't learn lessons from the past, then you're doomed to repeat your failures. But you cannot predict the future.
No, you can't. None of us know what's going to happen or the temperature is going to be like for wrestling or what the next fad's going to be. It's all fads. Obviously, NWO, DX, the Horsemen had their fad, grabbing judges and all that kind of stuff, which is really weird to me.
I really wanted Joey Ryan to run in on Evolution and become the biggest heel in the business.
Oh, my God. It's so interesting, but you have the opportunity to get yourself over. And the other thing I want to throw out there is injuries. You know who's going to get injured. And if you do what is asked of you and you do it well, people may say, you know what, this guy did Carter, you know, but he's really legit and he works really, really hard. I think it's time. You know, it's all about timing. So I think at the end of the day, you really do control more than you think. I just wish WWE would not be so scripted, because I think you're really losing out on an opportunity to what these people have. So when it comes to Matt Riddle, kind of bringing this conversation full circle, let Matt Riddle be Matt Riddle. And if you do that, bro, dude, I think you'll be very happy with what he brings to the table. Hang 10. Hashtag RV.
Brings it round to the point that we were both trying to make there. It's not so much, will the WWE get Matt Riddle? It's, will Vince get Matt Riddle?
That's 100% true, because he's in NXT. That's not really an issue there. He's going to get himself over like Rover. The minute he gets called up, man, it's like, yeah, exactly. Let's hope it doesn't go that way. Let's hope that, you know, logic intervenes at some point in time. But once
there's a guy in Vince, NXT right now, who I think could be a huge, huge star. But Vince will take one look at him and just discard him. Keith Lee. Keith Lee is incredible.
Yes, Keith, he is very, I'm with you on
Vince
that.
Vince will look and go, who's this fat guy? Where's this Lars Sullivan? Who's this Lars? He's a big guy. Call him up.
I don't know.
The minute Vince sees Lars Sullivan, he'll be begging, sign this guy in Triple H. Go, well, we signed him years ago. He's working for us.
Right. He's already here. Good grief. Well, for the sake of it, I really hope Triple H and the transition of power happens, and I hope it happens soon. I'm going to be real honest with you, because it needs to. Nothing against Vince. He's had a great run. I think he's a great creative mind. I think he could still obviously be involved with the company in some capacity. But, you know, much like we talked about Jim and some other promoters, it's just the nature of time. Time passes by.
Are you still blocked by Jim Cornette?
Oh, I'm very much still blocked by Jim Cornette. He's never going to unblock me. Oh, my God. I went off, if those of you who aren't familiar with this, I had to be told. that I was blocked because he blocked me because he had said something to the extent of Kenny Omega. And I took his own words in his hatred towards Kenny Omega and I flipped it and I was like, how someone can't like Kenny Omega or whatever. And I guess his big beef, I found out on a shoot interview he did. The reason why he was mad at Kenny Omega was evidently, and keep in mind, this is all coming from him. So, you know, you got his side of the story, and then the truth fall in between. But he told that he had some type of injury that he didn't perform. But yet, like a week later, he was performing somewhere else, getting a big fat payday. And I think Jim's beef was, well, wait a minute. You can go ahead and work for them, and you seem fine, but just a week earlier, you were claiming that you were injured and you couldn't perform. And I can see that from a certain extent, but Jim's hatred goes too far. And some people say it's his shtick and his gimmick, but it's like it's not healthy to hate as much as he hates. And it's like you almost feel like the dude's going to stroke out in the middle of a podcast.
Yeah, he's as entertaining as anyone to listen to, but you do have to worry for his sanity sometimes. And having said that, he's probably going to find out my name and he's probably going to block me as well now.
Well, no, you can join me in the world of blocked, you know?
Well, now Kenny Omega's blocked because he's a gimmick wrestler. I don't for a second imagine that someone like Tetsuya Naito would be blocked as well because he's over there in that Japan.
In that Japan, yep. Well, it's so interesting that that's going to bring us to our third segment. All right, that's going to take us to our third segment. So we all know that WWE from time to time will send out different scouts and part of their talent relations department to check out different wrestlers. And they try to kind of get an idea of the pulse of the wrestling world. And right now, WWE, and this is just my opinion, maybe you agree with me on this, Tony, I think they're running scared because they're like, whoa, there's so much talent out there that we can only throw so much money around to buy people up, but we got to do something. And there was a story that came out that WWE had reached out to, and correct me, how are we again before I say it?
I would say Tetsuya Naito, but I'm probably horrifically wrong.
Naito. Okay. I was saying Naito. Well, evidently, they were reaching out to him sometime after New Japan Pro Wrestling's big event, Dominion. And they were trying to find out what was going on with him, what his interest was, kind of gauging his interest level. And they actually went ahead and set up a meeting with him. And he agreed to. From this story, the way the story is being told is they sat down to meet with him, and he excused himself at some point during this meeting, and he left. He just left. So, Tony, tell me a little bit about what you know about this meeting. What exactly is fact? What exactly is fiction? And is truth to the fact that this guy, who's a huge superstar, just literally took a powder, walked out on WWE in the middle of a meeting?
I think this might be one of those stories where you kind of hope it's true. You don't necessarily know it's true. I drop parallels, and I'm going to go off on a total tangent here, but it's a funny story. There was a story doing the rounds in Scotland years ago that you two were over here, and Bono was singing his songs, and then did this bit in the middle of the concert where he would stop the songs and he would just start going, and he would say, every time I snap my fingers, a child in Africa dies. And the whole stadium was quiet apart from one guy who then shouted, well, stop doing it then. And I so want that story to be true, and I have the horrible feeling this Naito walking into WWE might be the same thing. I so want it to be true, but I think Naito is one of these guys where he knows what he's worth and he knows what his value is, and I'm not entirely sure that WWE's value would match what he thinks he is. So the meeting, if it happened, I could definitely see it going along those lines, because he is the kind of guy, and again, James is going to crucify me, but he's very tranquilo, something like that. I could definitely see him doing that, excusing himself and diving through a toilet window and escaping.
Well, I think it's interesting here because let's take this side of the story first. Let's say he did walk out. Okay, I don't think anybody's going to blame him. I think at the end of the day, it's going to be a situation of he sat there. He was willing to hear what they had to say. He dig in what they were saying. He didn't see any point in continuing the conversation. He decided my best way out, instead of trying to explain to them that I'm interested in having them keep coming back and hounding them. Yeah, hey, I got to go to the bathroom. And no one's going to say no to that. And when he went to the bathroom, he just left. Screw it, I'm out of here.
Here's the thing that concerns me. It's like, if Naito was actively talking to the WWE, why? You know, this is a guy who is a mega star in Japan. He's an incredible wrestler, but look at what's happened to Nakamura. And you have to put the add a caveat to that is Nakamura on his sort of winding down retirement tour? Does he really care as much anymore? Is he just there for the money and the elite schedule? But Naito is a guy that is at the top of his game right now. Would the WWE get him? If he signed for WWE, would he be sent to NXT to learn how to look at hard camera and sell t-shirts? Or would he get dumped straight onto the main roster? I can't, for the love of me, and I'm sure James probably here, I can't see Naito walking onto WWE and, you know, being in the same card position that he is. He'd be lumped into a stable with Asuka and Kairi San because all those Japanese people talk about, damn it. You know, I don't see the WWE getting Naito and getting... He doesn't have a gimmick, he's just Naito. That's it. He is what he is, and I just don't see that being a fit for the WWE right now.
Wait a minute. I got an idea.
I got an idea.
We could bring Kai and Tai back. It can be the new Kai and Tai. I love it.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen. Yeah, because you know he's talking. He's talking. Yeah, he's talking. He's going to hear what they have to say, hear their pitch, but he's going to be also talking to people who he worked with in New Japan, who now for WWE. It's just like you. Say you work for a company. Man, I'm really curious. That company's interested in me. I'm going to pick up the phone and go, hey, Tony, what the company? Shoot straight with me here. Should I try to go with this or should I go on my own? And if you tell me, I'm just kind of buying my time, to be honest with you, and then I'm going to be getting out of my contract. This is what's happened to me. This is what can happen to you. I would kind of just avoid it like a girl you don't want to go out with. Just stay far away from it as possible. And maybe that's what happened. I've never heard of somebody walking out of a WWE meeting before. If this is true, then he's already said all that he needs to say and it's over.
And the man's a genius if that's actually what happened.
I think that is awesome. I think that is so cool. And that's a definitive statement right there.
John Laurinaitis was involved somewhere. So John Laurinaitis sitting there was like, oh, do you think he's coming back?
We didn't even get our sake. Where did he go?
My sushi's going cold.
I was hoping for another egg roll.
Arms look jacked.
Oh my God. Oh God. Oh, if it wasn't so accurate, it would be funny.
God bless this picture and all who's sailing in for bringing these invasions to us.
I second that. So yeah, a lot of people are BE, and I'll be honest with you, for a payday. You know, right now they are the biggest platform in the world. I totally get it. A guy I know,
Clang,
actually worked for WCW. No, I should. WCW and wrestling and Jordan. He said it was a paid vacation. Obviously, that they didn't know how to book him, didn't know how to use him. They didn't know how to use him. So at the end of the day, he let his body heal up. He was used a few times. He made a nice paycheck, and then he went back to doing what he loved to do with the person he really wanted to be with. So at the end of the day, I mean, I don't blame people for doing it, but I also don't blame people for passing it up because you know what? You only got so many years and so many miles in your body wasted on performing for a company who cannot appreciate what you bring. And they can't appreciate Shinsuke Nakamura. I don't blame Shinsuke if he leaves. I think that he'd be much better and appreciated in Japan again. Or if he wanted the States, maybe do a tour with Ring of Honor. Maybe go ahead and do something with maybe an Impact Wrestling. Do something different. But at least get away from the WWE umbrella after you've got paycheck and the last check is cleared.
But playing devil's advocate here, as much as I love Shinsuke Nakamura, and I do, like to probably illegal levels in certain countries, but could you argue against the fact that beyond the Sami Zayn match he had in NXT, he's been on cruise control since he signed for WWE?
No, I mean, I agree with you. I've seen a lot of the similar matches with him and especially AJ. We saw them work for 7 or 8 times in a row. I don't disagree with you. I mean, I agree. But do you think he's really not uncorking it because he realizes, well, they're just going to dangle this carrot in front of me? Well, exactly. Why am I going to go above and beyond when this is going to be the same outcome all the time? I'm going to do a good match. I'm going to do what I'm told to do. I'm going to be a good soldier. But you know what? I'm not going to do anything that's going to potentially be high risk because there's no high reward in this company.
Having said that, as much as I said I was looking forward to the NXT TakeOver Modern Survivor Series, Rollins vs. Nakamura, that's a match I could totally get behind.
Ooh, that's going to be a good one. That's going to be a good one because I think each other's strengths. Both have the ability to tell a really good story. Both are extremely athletic. It's not going to be a really slow-paced match. I think there's going to be a lot of psychology use. I love the fact that Shinsuke is heel. I love that because I feel like he can really let himself be more of himself. And I think Seth Rollins is just Seth Rollins. I mean, he's one of those guys that will go down in history as just one of the best performers. He's got the look. He's got the athleticism. every, he's a total package. I think that's going to be a great match. But with that said, though, outside of that, the problem I currently have with Survivor Series is, do you really think they're going to take, you know, it's supposed to be Brock versus AJ, right? They're going to do that again. I don't necessarily know if I'm too wound up to go
ahead.
It's
amazing how much things have changed in a year.
Yeah.
If I could say that with more enthusiasm. The problem I have with Survivor Series, and if Kat was here, I'm sure she would agree, is Rousey vs. Lynch. On paper, it's an amazing match. It's an incredible match. It's the match that I would want to see, but we know the absolute hard-on that Vince has for Ronda Rousey and the mainstream attention she's getting. We know how much of a tour Becky Lynch has been on. Where do you go with it? You know, this is a WrestleMania match. As much as I say over the past year that my WrestleMania main event for next year would have been Charlotte Flair versus Rousey, Becky Lynch has stepped up to the plate so much, I would have said Rousey versus Lynch would be a valid WrestleMania main event. Becky has been absolutely incredible in the past 6 months. And let's get into this, right? As much as I love the PWI 500 every year and PWI women's list that they do, is it the 100 they do for the women, I think?
I think it is the 100, yes.
As much as we all appreciate it is what it is and it's partially kayfabe and, oh, wins matter, how the hell is Becky Lynch not in the top 10? How is Ronda Rousey number one? It's like, if Raptor was dead, he would be turning in his grave.
That's why I can't take this stuff that seriously. I can't take it seriously.
I think I said this in our production chat. Greedo, my Scottish spirit, had the amazing quote that if you're not in the top 10 and you're not number 500 in the PWI 500, it doesn't matter. Because you look at top 10 and then you look to who's bottom and everyone else is just there.
Yep, they're just filler.
And he said at the point that his greatest achievement was being number 500 in the PWI 500. And Greedo is my spirit animal because we're a similar shape.
Wow. But you're right. You're right. If you're not in the top five and you're not the guy who's on the very bottom of the list, like who barely got in, who the hell cares who's 63? You know, and what makes 63 different than 72? Like, because if wins and losses, I just,
whatever. And having said why am I getting so worked up that Becky Lynch wasn't in the top 10?
I think that you really are a big Becky Lynch. I mean, you are a big Becky Lynch fan, but I think there's more to it than that. I think that, do you think that Becky Lynch should beat Ronda Rousey? Or do you think right now that the line hasn't worn off yet for Ronda? She still has that nice polish to her and that they're going to keep this belt around her as long as they can.
I am a huge Becky Lynch fan. I think she has, I'm going to get slagged so much for this, but there is an argument to be made that Becky Lynch has been the most over wrestler, not just women, but wrestler on the entire WWE main roster in the past 6 months.
I would have to agree with you on that though. I would agree with that. She has been white hot.
And I would surmise that there are problems with Ronda Rousey. Many of them may not extend to what she does on WWE TV, but she is still learning the game. She's still learning the business. But she's, for my money, she's doing an incredible learning curve. She's not quite there, but it's going to be a hell of a lot of fun watching her get there. But she has to lose at some point. And as for me, the big story with Ronda is, and here's me, right? I shall get the pad out and the pen. And I shall start writing the WrestleMania booking and I'll send it off to Vince because you all know he listens to me. He's waiting on the next letter on the Monday morning. So if I'm booking this, I book Becky Lynch to win by shenanigans, perhaps a kerfuffle, maybe even a brouhaha, but she wins somehow and Rousey takes it to heart. And then eventually it comes back round to WrestleMania main event, Ronda Rousey chasing after Becky Lynch to get the win back that she feels she was conned out of. There's the money event for me. Becky is just incredible right now. She has the swagger. She has the fire. She has the belief. She just believes she is the man. It's not just a t-shirt. She believes she's the man.
She believes.
Yeah, she believes. Yeah, nothing to do with Bo Dallas, but let's not go there. <Stop it. laughs> she's absolutely on fire right now. Not literally, because that would hurt.
That would be pain. She's on fire.
She's absolutely incredible right now. If you follow Becky Lynch on Twitter, she's absolutely incredible. She is cutting down people left, right, and center, and it's like effortless. I think Ronda Rousey messaged her on something. She tagged her on something, and Becky Lynch's reply was it's a thing of beauty. Go look at it. Ronda Rousey posted this tweet about Nia Jax and Becky Lynch, and Becky Lynch's reply was just epic. It was absolutely incredible.
Now, the one thing I will throw this out in, and I'm kind of curious to get your take on this. You know, we saw Brock Lesnar. I think Brock has retired or said this is my last match in UFC.
Yeah, CM Punk did the same thing after his first match.
Yes. I'm going to have you a percentage on this. What is the percentage that Ronda fits one more time?
No chance. She strikes me as the kind of person that would just, She probably would strike me if she hears this. Repeatedly. And the question. She strikes me as the best.
Believe that.
And some people would pay for it. That's another story. She's done something. She's been there. She's done that. You know, the boat sailed. I'm not going to say she was found out, but people caught on to her game plan. Holly Holm just wrecked her. You know, and that's a big step to come back from. And Conor McGregor's probably going to have a similar kind of learning curve when he comes back from his next match. You know, it's the whole world of the UFC and real fighting is totally different to what you and me talk about. You know, we talk about storylines and gimmicks, but these guys and women are going in the ring and getting punched in the face for real. You know, I can walk into any pub in Glasgow and get punched in the face. Doesn't mean I want to do it.
There's no stomping when these guys punch, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, the ring doesn't bounce when they get punched in the face, you know?
I didn't know a punch even sounded like that. And then I was like, then I caught onto it. I'm like, wait a minute. Every time he punches him, he like stomps his foot. I'm like, what the hell is this?
The best luck punches ever, Jerry Lawler. Go and watch a Jerry the King Lawler match. His punches are a thing of beauty. There's a gift on Twitter of him punching. I can't even mind who it is, but he's in the corner and it's just rapid fire, left, right, left, right, left, right. And it's honestly, it's a thing of beauty. Iron Mike Tyson would be happy.
That seems to be everything that's on my list to cover this week. Let me ask you this question. Is there anything else that's on your mind you would like to discuss? Anything you would like to talk about that has happened in wrestling that is kind of on the top of your mind or on your forefront?
Not really. No, it has been a fairly quiet week after the fallout from the Saudi Arabia 2 Blood Money Boogaloo, as Dara would say. Dara, we're pulling out a whiskey for you here, since you're not here. it has been a fairly quiet week this week. There hasn't been a lot going on, which is a nice thing after the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's actually a little bit of quiet down, just kind of chill out for a little bit after the last 2 weeks of craziness.
Let me just drop some expert analysis on New Japan. No, I can't do that to James.
Yeah. I'm
not prepared to do that.
No, I'm not. I don't have my PhD in wrestling to be able to talk to that level.
The one thing I would say was the Chris Jericho's Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea was last week, and Kenny Omega, Cody Rhodes, and the Young Bucks dropped the bomb where they're not part of the Bullet Club anymore. They're just calling themselves the Elite, so they are removed themselves from the club. Is that a precursor to their next big move? Could the next big move be to the WWE or to this promotion that's been rumoured with Jericho and Jim Ross, and I cannot remember his first name for the life of me, but Mr. Khan, who owns the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I noticed I said Jaguars in your presence instead of Jaguar, as it's properly pronounced.
I knew. I was just about to say, you are starting to use your American proper language very well. Man, they teach you guys grammar over there? We don't do that. You're
dropping
you
the
use
and everything next.
Well, I think it's interesting on what's going to happen with those guys, because at the end of the day, you know, Jim Ross had made a comment on the cruise as well that he is still under contract with WWE. And gosh, I hope I get this right.
Yes. AXS. And they've banned him from commentating on Wrestle Kingdom in January on AXS.
Heard about
so
that.
That's a big selling point. So let me spin this around. You're always the one asking me what I think. I'm going to spin it around and ask you what you think. If you were Kenny Omega or Cody, don't call him Rhodes, and the Young Bucks, and your contract in New Japan was up in January, and you have all this power that they've got, and you have all the social media presence and all the buzz following you, what do you do? Do you go to WWE, make a big cash grab? If you're Cody Rhodes, do you go back and try and make the career that you thought you should have had in the first place? If you're Kenny, do you go to WWE and try and make your name in the foreign land, the way you're not known? If you're the Young Bucks, do you go there and become the big name in the Land of Giants? Or do you roll the dice do All In 2, start your own promotion, or do you stay in New Japan? You know, stay where you're comfortable, continue on the path that you've been doing, continue with your art. What would you do?
If I was Kenny Omega, I would sign with WWE, but here's what I would do. I'd sign a one-year deal. And the way it's going to work is this. I would make sure that certain things are ironed out in the contract, that we are coming to some level of understanding, that I'm not a puppet of yours, that if you would like for me to sign a longer-term contract down the road, that you need to let me be me, and let's see where it goes first. And if it doesn't go anywhere, but yet I'm still, you know, financially profiting from you guys, then I'll go ahead and turn the reins over to you. But I am absolutely not going to be your scripted puppet. Therefore, I will give you 2 months. This is how much money I want. So it's a perfect hybrid between the two situations, because WWE is not going to allow him to work for any other promotion. You know that. So it's not going to be one of those open-ended contracts, but it would be 12 months. Pay me a lot of money. I want a lion's share, or at least a decent share of the merch as well. And let's see what happens. So therefore, he could have his WWE experience. He could probably make a hell of a lot of money, but there is an out at the end of it where he can say, yes, I did this. I fulfilled it. I enjoyed it. I can check it off my bucket list, but now I can go on and do whatever I want. Or he could have an option for a second year and continue to say, this is the leverage I want. This is what I want to do. And WWE is either going to acquiesce to his demands, or you're not going to get a kid. So that's what I would do. I would do a short-term deal that would have to be front-loaded with a ton of money and not creative control, but a lot creative creative suggestion. What do you think about that?
Here's the two sides of the coin. If you're Kenny Omega, you're in a similar place to, say, a Shinsuke Nakamura or AJ Styles, and you've seen how they go. If you'd have said AJ Styles was going to be WWE champion for coming on a year, or Nakamura would be wallowing in mid-card with the US title, you'd have been laughed out of all New Japan fan circles, and James Trupany would have probably had you hunted down and hung. Omega is in a similar place, I think. He is that level of talent. He's got to look at the WWE and, you know, which side am I going to fall on? Am I going to be the Styles, or am I going to be the Nakamura? Am I going to be the Balor, or am I going to be the Anderson and Gallows? It's a really, really big choice. If he succeeds in WWE, his brand goes through the roof. If he doesn't succeed, has he lost anything? No,
I don't think he's lost anything. I think it's one of those situations where, because of his prominence of who is and what he's already done and his track record, if he goes to WWE and it completely falls apart, people aren't going to look at him and say, man, you dropped the ball. They're going to say, Kenny Omega, and you guys didn't utilize him. You had him for 12 months and you screwed the pooch. That's on you guys.
Let's look back at TNA when they had Kazuchika Okada and they used him as Samoa Joe's sidekick.
Oh, gosh. Don't remind me of stuff like that. Don't remind me of the fact that TNA actually had the Young Bucks as well, when it was Generation Me.
Thanks, Jeremy.
And they were so, and they literally just dropped the ball on that. Just don't remind me of these things. Like, this is what nightmares are made of. It's not the boogeyman. It's booking.
Here's the thing about Kenny Omega, though. He's more important as person of LGBT interest in New Japan right now. The storyline he's got going with Kota Ibushi, is that more important than the money to him? And if I'm him, I think it probably is.
I don't think money is his sole driving factor.
It's not his god. Yeah, and it's going to sound really pretentious here, but I think the art is his thing.
No, I don't think it sounds pretentious at all. I think it's true. It's who he is as a person.
So you're telling me not everyone in this world is money driven.
There are so many people that are extremely rich, but they live like paupers.
I'm thinking this is starting to be a little unfair.
Because just because you have the money doesn't mean you necessarily wanted it or necessarily need it. Who you are on the inside and being true to yourself is worth so much more.
I've got questions.
Than money in the bank, because you have something called peace of mind. You can't buy peace of mind. You're only on this planet for so many years, and I'm not trying to get philosophical, but why would you want to be someone else's puppet when you can be the master of your own domain?
Yep, and that's a question I think we all have to face at some point in our life, and Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks and Cody might be facing that come this January.
Now, at the end of the day, I'd whore myself out for any amount of money that there is. If anybody wants to hire me,
to prove it.
Absolutely, yes, and please text that number, because for the right amount of money... We're going to bleep that one out.
Oh, my God. 114.
Okay. But you know what? I don't have the kind of scruples that Kenny Omega has, and I need the money. So you know what? If WWE... Oh, no, I have not a clue. I don't know who Webster is. I didn't know he had his own dictionary. I thought he was just a kid on a TV show. Oh, man. So, Tony, is there anything else that you can think of that was captivating, that kind of, you know, made you stop and pause in the wrestling suite?
I think we're done for this week. Well, I think we should get out over ahead before James is already on the phone and saying, shut the hell up.
Hang on. Yes, I was just about to say.
Matt can edit in the middle of this wedding. James is already on the phone saying, shut the hell up.
That's right. One last thing, because there's always one last thing. We wish Triple H the very best because he tore his pec in that old retirement match that he had over in, I don't know, somewhere, because he's too old to do any of that stuff. But before we leave, I do want to plug this for our good colleague, Kat. You can find her at ArtXCore on Twitter. And you can go over and get all of her quality merchandise, and that can be found at artxcore.bigcartel. Again, that is artxcore.bigcartel.com. And once again, follow her on Twitter. So that's going to do it for this week. Freeland Wrestling Rewind for my amazing broadcast colleague and partner, Tony Khan. I'm from a great place in the world known as Scotland. I am Mike Freeland in a less desirable place known as Ohio.
Always.
United States. Check out the True Penny Show. You can find the True Penny Show anywhere that fine podcasts are made available to you. James True Penny and his group of intelligent minds will be on everything that is professional wrestling and everything that's happening over in New Japan. Once again, you can follow them on social media. You can follow the True Penny Show. You can follow James himself. It's Sheriff Lone Star. Is there anything else? I don't think so. That's going to do it. This is the Freeland Wrestling Rewind. We'll see you next week.